Oh, no, no video. We just simple audio. We'll get the fancy things if the shit takes off. Ever. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Pete.
Hello, I think Rob Lopiansky's online. Pause.
Looks like, yes.
Lopiansky? Let's try again.
On the screen.
Yeah, okay.
I just need to speak. Let's see. Can't hear anything on the Skype yet. It's plugged into the right places.
Pete, you tell him to go into call audio settings and then he can test his microphone. Uh-huh.
Rob Lopiansky, someone just said open up a call audio settings in Skype.
On the top, there's a tab call. Yeah. When he presses call, audio settings shows up.
Yeah, and audio settings shows up.
Can he hear us?
Is this audible?
Ah, that's yeah. It. We can hear you.
Okay.
We heard that. All right. Okay. No, that one, we can't hear it.
Okay, now it's okay?
Yes, we could hear something there.
Okay, so, let me just put the mic closer.
Oh, very good. I'll put the phone down there.
Okay, now I think I'm good, okay?
Okay. Hello?
Yeah, I'm on.
Okay, very good. We have four people online, myself, someone called Nitzan Bergman, who lives in Baltimore, and Peretz Siegel, another friend of mine. He runs a program here in Yerushalayim called the Center Program, and another friend of mine, Eli Pilot, in Telstone, and he's a magister in Shalabim. My friend Nitzan Bergman runs outreach programs in Baltimore.
Okay, Bruchim Abayim. So I guess the suggestion was to try learning the Sivat Sneas, and I had a bit of hesitation. I'll share the hesitation. The Sefer Netziv Tzolom is written the Seder different middles. It's really meant to be, I guess, a sort of liquid from the Sdera Chaim. You know, it's hard to see it that way, but it does be back and here and there, but my hesitation about it was simply that he takes this. Each parak is a different chapter, and he'll bring many mamari and hazal that support the have different variations of it. Now, all that is great. The problem is that
Reb Lopiansky, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Is it possible to speak up a little bit?
Yes, it is.
That's much better.
Much better, yeah.
Okay.
Much better.
So the there's a tendency over here in the Civisolum where he takes one Nekuda and then tends to become repetitive. So I guess we'll try it. We'll see if it goes well. It's going to be Bez Hashem. I just want to give a bit of a warning on that account. Okay. Starts off the Sefer Mishlei. It says in Mishlei, Bo Zodoin Vayovay Kolain. When the Mazid, the Zodoin, the person who's a bad person, the Lashon Zodon, comes, he brings cologne, brings shame, ve'es tsnuim chachma, and the people, what's tsnua, he brings chachma to that. Now, the pasuk as it stands is kind of very strange, because a pasuk like this would tend to be very well weighted. In other words, you have the Zodon brings the cologne, so then the other person I would suggest would be a shogeg, would be a tzaddik, would be also mitzvahs, and instead of cologne he would be kavod. And here it's vest tsnuim chachma. So the pasuk is kind of filling in, giving us opposites that don't seem at first glance to really be opposites. So, Bo Zodon Vayovo Kalon. The Zodon brings Kalon with him. Ve'es Tznuim Chachma, but the people, Watsanua, bring Chachma with them. So, he's Mazbe. Shloima Melech Otsaloima. Ki Imha Zodon. The Hainu Misha Eino Tznua. The person who is a Zodon means that he's not Tznua. Vu Nikro Zodon. She Ein Lo Busho Lios Mispoil Min Abriois. So the first thing, the Maral is giving us a bit of a hezba why a Zodon is someone who's not Tsunua. He says a person, when he does an Avera and he's consciously doing it, it means, first of all, he has no problem with the Avera Shabai, but the second issue is that he's also... he's also showing that he's not embarrassed at all with it. He doesn't care about it. There's an element in every Zodon that, you know, I couldn't care less what I'm doing wrong or if anyone notices it. So he's Ein lo bush les mispoil min aprios. V'zenikra Zodon leiv. V'kasha odom ukach Bo Kalon Vecherpa Elov, Kifi Midosa Shanim Shach Achov Shurachim in a covered or Fiko Vayavi Kolay. So the cologne is simply an appropriate rebound, where if the person himself is sort of denying the Midas Habusha, the person is sort of making a statement that he's not Bosh, then we remove covered from him, because it's not shaykh to have kavod without busha. And let's explain that a minute. Just like a person, if a person cannot see light, then darkness is not in any way meaningful to him. If I say this person is in the dark, when really, and he can't see light, it's not meaningful, because light doesn't mean anything, so darkness doesn't either mean anything. If a person can't taste food, so bland doesn't mean anything. Everything is bland, and therefore it's meaningless. So if a person has no sense of kavod, then the person himself is really, really shayach to the world of... He's not shayach to the world of kavod. He's shaykh to the world of kolon, because it doesn't have any sense of nechbadus. Nechbadus requires a sense. If a person is embarrassed to be undressed. So being dressed is covered. If a person has no embarrassment, then it doesn't make a difference. The person is not a nichbar, he's a nikla. The opposite is ves tsnuim chachma, ki mishu betsnius nimshaf achrav chachma, ka chachma roel atsnius. So this is going to be more the nekuda that he's going to be dealing with in the in this perek. The flip side of it, that chachma is shayach dafka to the world of tsnua. Doesn't seem to us at first glance of any particular meaning. I mean, the idea that you're shayach to kavod only if you are a, you know, if you're a yavusha, that's something that sort of makes sense. The second half about chachma being associated with tznius is something that we really, it's a little bit on the hard side to understand it. And that's really going to be the nekuda he's going to speak about. So the first one is a chazal as follows. Ubemedrish, chachma is bechutz teroina. It says in the pasuk in Mishlei that chachma proclaims outside. Shor Rav Shuan Achmenes Rav Yenis Mel Yetzer. Shei oimeit b'shuk. Amali, shnei li perik echad. He was standing outside in the marketplace and he told me, why don't you teach me something? Amali, lech le besa Talmud v'shana ischa. If we go to yeshiva, we'll learn. They told him, "Loyli maritani chachmas bechutz teroina." Didn't we learn that chachma is supposed to be proclaimed outside? Chachma is supposed to proclaim itself. Amalei, so he told him, "Im karisa leishanisa." Even if you know pesukim, you're quoting me a pasuk, you never learned the Torah shabal peh, which is the hezber of it. Bechutz shel Torah. It means in the place in the marketplace of Torah, not the outside marketplace. The lashon of that thing is wherever the marchiv, I think the lashon more is wherever Torah is misrachiv, but it means in the place, in a specific place of Torah. And he brings an analogy, he says, Hamar golis hechaninim keres bechanus. You don't peddle diamonds in the street, you peddle trinkets in the street, you don't peddle diamonds, you do it in a store. Kach ha-Torah berchoivos titen koila. So that's a lashon of Chazal in the Medrash Mishlei, and a similar lashon of Chaim b'Gemara Moed Katan. Pamachas gozer Rebbe shlo yishana talmidim b'shuk. Rabbeinu Hakadosh was gozer they shouldn't teach talmidim b'shuk. My dorish, he used the pasuk hamuki rechayich. My yerech b'seisa after v'tor b'seisa. It has to be asked on b'seisa. Meloshah hamuki rechayich, which is the part of the person that's covered. And the Gemara asks, "Vaksiv chachmas bechutz teroina, ki derav adam akoisik b'teira mibefnim teira machazal b'shuk." A different medrash that if you oisik teira b'fnim, teira is machrezal b'shuk. Vaksiv loy meirosh b'seisa debarti. There's a pasuk that says, "I didn't speak in whispers to you." In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke loud. So my answer is, "Ahi b'yom edekala." That's talking about on the Yom HaKala when everybody comes to learn, so the whole Tzibur is like a base medrash. That's the Lashon of the Gemara. Now he's going to explain it. V'atam b'chol zeh, ki ha-chochma ba'atzma hi tznua v'nisteres, ve'ein ha-chochma b'nigla. U'lefikach k'moishi ha-chochma ba'atzma, kach yinhag im ha-chochma shel yilmad b'tzniyus ta'ina b'seisa. So let's first explain what he's saying, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. Let's take a very crude example, but it'll help us understand it. Let's say a person is let's say a person walks by, and he sees apples falling from a tree. So the phenomena that he's witnessing are the apples falling from the tree. That's what he sees. The law of gravity, which is the chachma behind it, it's the algorithm, it's the connection, it's all of that. That's all hidden. It's hidden in the sense it's never overt. It's always within the phenomena that's happening. if we were to translate in a little bit of a different language that the Maral uses frequently and so on, the chomer, meaning the substance, the thing that's there, never has in itself a chachma. It is not the chachma. It's always the carrier for a certain chachma, and the chachma is within it. If a person has a painting, so what's physically present are the dabs of paint, the meaning is more of a pneumistic, the meaning, I mean, the most pushed sense, just what those dabs of paints add up to, and the meaning behind the picture is still a bit greater pneumius. In other words, chachma is always within something that's carrying it. Chachma is never on display. Its chachma is always within another entity. So the Maral has a klal, and he says it Chagiga by the Mishnah of, you know, Ein Dorshin Barais and so on, that the format for chachma, the format in which something is to be conveyed, is very much akin to the content itself. So he says by Arias, which deals with two people, you can only learn with two people. By Sebrachis, you only learn with one person. And by Semerkov, with just giving over Rosh Prakim, he explains that, and it's so very frequent in the words of the Maral, that things that are with the presentation of something ought to match its content. So on the surface of it, he's just telling you an appropriate presentation. You know, it's like something said in a crying tone of voice, dark wall, etc., etc. That's the surface of it, but it's a lot deeper than that. We'll see in another minute. A person who's a tsunua is nimshach of the chachma. Apul misha kol maisa bebuilt its tzniyus. Gash b'merov lachachma. So, person not worthy of chachma because he's by his nature he's a gash b'merov person, and a gash b'merov person is always the chitzonis of something. Let's talk about this a little bit. Let's explain this a little bit further. When a person, when a person is reading a newspaper, let's say, so the chitzonis of it, This, the more sensational something is, it's more striking to the senses. The more thoughtful something is, the more the person is trying to find certain meaning, understandings behind things. A person who is not a tsunua means the person he lives for the stimulation of his senses. What he sees, what he feels, what he hears, what's on the table, that person is be'etzem mufka from chachma. A person, because it's a different strata of things that are meaningful to him, that he relates to. The person does not relate to things that are, kind of things that are hidden. The person himself is be'etzem chitzoni. So it's more than just appropriate to present a certain way. It's a real question of does the person have bechlal a gisha to the things that are beneath the surface? It requires a mindset that strips away the chutz and looks for the pnim. Let's take an example in tznius in the lush, in the sense that he's talking about. If a person I mean, not waste time. I'm still sorry. That in the sense that we use the word sneeze in a very manner sense. A person who tries to attract people and draw people by exposing his body, his or her body, and sort of presenting it and fixing it up, etc. That person is making a statement. It's all about the shape. It's all about the features, what your eyes are stimulated by, or to stimulate you. And I want to be attracted to and relate to the people whose senses I'm stimulating. So that person is mufka from anything else, because that world is not even real to him. You know, the real world is something that's very, very physical and coarse and palpable and tangible. So the whole gamut of things that are not of tznius has a common denominator, which ultimately affects very strongly the person's sense of chachma, because the person is so his sense of the real. Let's give an example. For the person in the lab who's a technician and he's collecting data, the real are the flasks and the fluids and what he's jotting down on a piece of paper. And those things are real. The rest of the stuff is fluffy stuff that the professor is writing up. The person who deals with the statistics, sort of the rules and the you know, sort of the underlying process, for him the reality is the formula for the growth of the bacteria in certain environments, and these flasks are just examples of it, which even if one or two might have turned out different, they just happen to be irregular for some reason. But that's not the world at all. The flasks and the vials and all that stuff is not the real world. What's real is a certain rate of growth or a certain environment of growth, and everything else is just a chetimtzut to get to it. So it encompasses an entire person, the sense of the tsunu and the nister, that is, it's parallel to, and it's very much the world of chachma. And so the person who's tzanua and nister is shaykh to the world of chachma and is nimsha to chachma, and the world who's outside is goes away from chachma. He may know a lot of data, but there certainly is no chachma. The want to ask something?
As a mutually exclusive thing, is it? Is it by definition like that? We see, like, by the Melech, you know, there was a Chitzonius as well, which was very beautiful.
So there are two, the end, well, Melech and Beis HaMikdash and so on. So there are two answers to that. Well, actually, not two answers, but two reasons why that would be true or would not be true. First of all is, if a person sees it as a stepping stone, if a person walks into a shul that's beautiful, and it helps induce the mood, the person says, this is an environment that helps me focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and so on and so forth. Would a person recognize it as such? It's positive. It's a ladder to somewhere. Yes, so definitely that's appropriate. Also, the other way around, as an expression of the proper role. In other words, when we have, for instance, we have a Sefer Torah in Aron Kodesh, and we kiss it when we put it in, and we fast the Chas V'Shalom traps, and all the things we do about it, they're meant to convey a sense of, it's the expression of the Kedusha of Torah coming down, and it is a ladder to help us understand it. But if the person just stops at the tinsel, and it's all about the tinsel and so on and so forth, then he's missed it. The type of person who just sees the outside and the fireworks and so on, he's missed the boat. So he says, "Shekimoshe shalachachma mailol yonisteres, kachyesh alachomri madrega shvela niglus vashvanza kamakamos. Vim kachu sheyadnoik tzniyasim haTorah, kol shekayim v'kalvachoma b'shar dvarim." So even in Torah itself, he says there's this, and certainly by other things. I want to go a few steps further on this inyan itself, in Torah itself. There is, in Torah itself, this inyan it manifests itself in different ways. And I want to go through a few of them. The first inyan is the inyan for not learning Kabbalah unless you roya for that. In terms of Torah, in terms of Chachma, in terms of age, in terms of person, and so on. The reason, you know, the stupidest and coarsest way of understanding it is that there's these great secrets here. You can cook a brew and destroy the world, or I don't know what. I mean, that really requires a very coarse mind, nurtured carefully by movies and stuff. But the reason is as follows. In all chachmas of Torah, the chutz and the penim have some sort of sense of connection. For instance, lulav and esrog is a real, real fruit and a real branch, and has real halachas about dats and stuff, and there is also panimius to it, and the effects of olamos hazayin is wonderful. But if a person learns about esrog and lulav, and he thinks about his esrog and his lulav, that's fine. That's emes. There's an emes to it. It is emes. The whole chachma of Kabbalah is built on a very, very difficult metzias. You are talking about things that absolutely have no existence, and the words are just phrases to guide you in a certain way. And if you speak about yamin and smol, we're not talking about right, we're not talking about left, and we're not talking about elyon and tachton. All of these are just phrases, almost like in physics when they label stuff, you know, strange quarks and charmed quarks, and they're just convenient labels. They are meant to, in the world of Kabbalah, to give you some sort of direction, certain ways. But the terrible danger is that people who don't have the fine sense of discarding chutz in order to hear the pnim are going to be kaifrim. If a person learns through Zohar and any of the imagery sticks as imagery, the person is a kofer, and he'd be much better off not touching it. So in the world of chachma, in the world of chachma, understanding and the hearing pnim is a very, very important part of it. I want to point out something else also. The Baal HaMemor in the Gemara, it says, Pam echad gozer Rebbe sheshan talmidim b'shuk. Rabbeinu HaKadosh was the Miyasid of the Mishnayos. The Mishnayos are very, very difficult limud because they are terribly, terribly shorthand. The Mishnayos are all written in a way that they don't explain themselves. You need to take the Mishnayos is almost like you ever have these puzzles in geometry where given just a straight edge and a compass and knowing that this is the diagonal of that, solve for the following. Mishnayos are in a sense the minimal amount of information needed to really construct a halacha. It's not, Mishnayos are not user-friendly in any way. They are extremely cryptic. The Velt says, I think Rav Hudin writes someplace, that since there was an issa to write down Torah Shebal Peh, he chose to write the minimum necessary, and so on. The Gemara says that, you know, an Amoris has to be Mefarish, a Tana doesn't have to be Mefarish. And that's why the Mishnah can almost say the opposite of what it means, I'm sorry. And all it is simply telling me, you know, if I look at this Mishnah, look at this Mishnah, and see the Stira, I'm obviously going to come to the conclusion that we're talking about two different cases, and I'm going to get it right. But as far as they are terribly, terribly inarticulate, and they're meant to be inarticulate because they're meant to be the minimal amount of words needed to convey the information. That's the world of Chachma, and it's appropriate for that. It's interesting. I once heard a theuk many years ago from Moshe Shapiro told me, name of Hutna. When the Rambam speaks about the Mile of Shtika, he says, Rav, who's a Talmid of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, it says about him that he was never Sach Sicha B'Tel B'Yama. In other words, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, as head of the Mishnayos, is somebody, Ramash used it for a different Indian B'Shaita, but I want to explain it. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, as the Bala Mishnayos, is brevity, meaning brevity means the maximum of Chachma that could be contained within the minimum of words. Meaning the entire meaning of it, it's locked not in the chutz, but in the pnim. And that's a very, very, it's the real mahalach of Chachma. So Rav, who the Talmud of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the mida that he exemplifies, personal mida, was shtika. And that's something that is a sort of a hemshich of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. That's in terms of the world of Mishnah. So Rabbeinu HaKadosh is the one who was geyser not to teach Chachma B'Shuk. I want to explain this musik of teaching Chachma B'Shuk also, what we're talking about. When you speak in the market, both in the literal sense and in the in sort of the metaphoric sense, you speak to the lowest common denominator. In other words, advertisements, you know, TV, anything that's public tends to be a slogan where the entirety of its chshivas lies in the words, in the phrase, in the catchphrase, in the image, in the moment, and there's very little chachma behind it. When a person, when a maggid speaks for a tzibur, he cuts a lot of corners and pulls a lot of fast ones in terms of the rigor of the chachma involved in it. There's a lot of showmanship. There's a lot of, you know, cutesy stuff. There's a lot of shoddy reasoning. That's the nature of it. And it's appropriate when you speak for a large audience. The shook aspect of it is sort of a very, very... It sort of takes away from the Chachma Shabbai by making it very, very accessible to Hamoin. Accessibility to Hamoin, and even if you're talking to a large body of Chachamim, it's very hard. The Yoima of Shuk that he talks about, that then it's appropriate to say these things, that Yoima to Shuk is when everybody's in Beis Medrash, and everybody's in Beis Medrash mode. A person sitting in Beis Medrash is trying to dig into the Torah, versus the other way around. I want to add another aspect of Torah that I think relates to this point, and I think it's important to point it out. Yes, you may ask a question. Somebody says.
Thanks. Yeah, I just want to clarify. In the Gemara, it seems to be saying that even a conversation between the Rebbe and the Talmud shouldn't be had in the Shuk. There, it doesn't seem like he was speaking to the people in the Shuk. But all it sounds like it was the Talmud was asking a specific question to his Rebbe, and even that he didn't want to discuss with him. Is there something about the etzem place of the shuk that makes it inappropriate?
Correct. It's a certain things that are private. I mean, let's take an example. Something. Let's say you're having a private conversation with a friend of yours, and I once I was once sitting on a bus going from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak a few years ago. A woman sits down in front of me, an empty seat next to a woman. The woman who sat down was an American woman. A little bit of a tefligna lady. She was going to a chasna of a sister on a bus carrying stuff and so on. Fine. She sits down and quite a loud voice spends the entire trip telling to the stranger next to her all about her divorce and so on. And it's not a secret in the sense that I could use the information against her. I was clueless, and so was everybody else clueless about it. But there was something horrendous about the setting for it. A public bus it's just not the place to talk about it. It has nothing to do with the fact that somebody will use the information, send information, it's nothing. But there's something, it's not the place for it. Chachma is something that has an edelkeit to it by its nature. It should be kept within the Soid Chachamim. It's just the propriety of it in the whole thing. I want to add another Nakuda. Part of the revolution, one might call it, of the Chachma in Torah itself that Reb Chaim Brisker made in terms of the Halacha Shabbai and the Maral and Reb Hutna and those people who sort of have used that, it's become quote unquote popular and known only in the last generations, really. I want to try to explain a little bit where it's headed to, where it's going to be headed. Rav Soloveitchik from Yeshiva University once made a comment, which, you know, it has a little bit of a sharpness to it, but the comment was, grandfather, who was Rav Chaim Brisker, took your Yerideya out of the kitchen into the Beis Medrash. In other words, there was a Prisus, a Torah, where people associate Yerideya with basically what the mashgiach of a kitchen has to know. We all want to eat, and we want to eat well. And to eat well, the Torah put a lot of restrictions on it. So we've got a great sefer that tells us how to get to having a steak. But it's all about the details. It's all about the facts. It's all about the chachma of Torah is how to separate two neighbors whose oxen are goring each other, how to make some tov out of it. It's a chetimtza for getting people to own up to the responsibility of their oxen and gore. Reb Chaim's deher was that there's a principle behind it. The cases in the Gemara are really examples of principle. The amelus b'torah is to get at the principle, and that's really the ikar shabbai. Not everybody liked Reb Chaim's Torah. I mean, contrary to what people say, there were people that didn't like it b'shaita because of the nunes shabbai. But there was another aspect that the Chazanish didn't like. The Chazanish felt that it's taking people away from the fact that, yes, it's wonderful to say a beautiful Svara in Tam Ke'iker, but it tends to take people to make them academic about it and not to be careful of the pots and pans which the Torah wants. And, you know, yes, it's like all of Torah, there's always a balance of tug of war and so on. But I want to explain where Reb Chaim was coming from. Reb Chaim was coming from taking Torah from its chutz and trying to get to the pnim. And the pnim is always less physical. And somebody wrote a critique, not a critique, but a criticism. The Ritvaz wrote a criticism of Chaim Brisker. And he says, he writes it, it's printed. He said, you know, there's this new Torah out, which I call alchemy. You put a few things into a pot, and you draw out what you feel is something, some other element. You know, you put tin and I don't know what, and mud into a pot, and out comes gold. There's no such thing. There's yesh me'ayin, which is wrong, and that was a criticism. And Reb Chaim said, this is the pnim of the chutz. It's not the yesh me'ayin, but it's the chachm. It's the sum total of all the apples that have fallen and hit all the nutas on the head. This is the law. The same thing is true with the morale and this flavor, I would say, Torah Dizinyanim. You can take the Chazal and say, Chazal tell us it's terrible to not to be Tzanua, klolas, all sorts of terrible things, and just like a diamond you wouldn't take outside, this you wouldn't take outside, it stands as it reads, and that's fine. But this attitude was that the chacham is always bifnim. It's always going to be the pnimius of some sort of chutz. And that's why it's,
just a question?
Yes.
On what you're saying.
Let me finish.
Okay.
I think we'll be covered at time for about 40, 45 minutes. So I'm just finishing this piece now, and then we can ask questions. So this is, it's another aspect, I think, of discovering a chachma that is bechreach tzenua. It's something within something else. Okay, I finished the piece now. Questions, whatever, yes?
Just the question is, on the one hand, if you just relate to the chomer and you don't get to the chochma, that is a bad thing.
Right.
But on the other hand, if you just relate to the klal, and it's not connected to anything, that's also not like unconnected as well. No,
that is very true. I am reminded. Rav Moshe Shapiro actually told me this. He was a young boy. He told me it was maybe bar mitzvah. He had a friend that was 15 years old and a very gung ho, like Lamdin Rosh Hashiva type of boy. Like he was gonna conquer the world. You know, kids. Told him, let's go, we're going to Chaznish, I want to speak to him and learn. So they walk in. So this kid is 15, or Moshe told me he was about 13 himself. And he tells the Chaznish, I have a Hakir. Is it this or that? So the Chaznish asked him, and what is the difference? In other words, give me an example where this concept would express itself as being different. And this kid, you know, he was a kid. And he said the same thing that his Rebbe told him. It's a different, the nafkaminis, whether you know Pshat or not. So the Chaznish smiled, hit him on his back, and he said, my young man, just keep clearing all sorts of hakiris that have no nafkamina, and with God's help, you're going to become a great Amaretz. Which had a dry sense of humor. And the Chaznish's point was a little different. The Chaznish's point was the test of whether it's semantics or substantial. Are you just doing two words that mean the same thing, just two different words? Or there's actual difference? The only real test for it is to find a test case where you can test it. I mean, that's the elementary chachma. But it's true. It is very true. And that was the Chaznish's general... his taygut, his general kind of a bit of reluctance about this derech nishiva world, it tends to take people away from the lamaisa shabai. So it's like everything else, it is a tug of war. One without the other is lacking something, and obviously if you're forced with a terrible choice, you're going to have to do the lamaisa and the practical and what's physically true. But it shouldn't have to be that way. A person should be able to get into the chachma with some sort of avelis. Okay, any other questions?
Can I ask something?
Sure.
At the very end, he makes a kavachomer. He says...
Yourself, so I get used to the voice.
I'm sorry, it's Ellie Pilot. Yeah. Shalom. So it's... at the end, he says that it's a kavachomer, that if the Torah needs sneus, kavachomer, other things. But from what he said before, I would have thought that there's a pirachot of the kavachomer, that because he just explained that the whole meat of the Torah is panemius, so for there you need sneus. But for other things... They don't have that special chashivus of Torah. Maybe they don't need the tznius so much.
So I think what he means is his emphasis on the gedus and the cherpa. In Torah, at the end of the day, full Torah, and whether it's a more, you know, whether it's a more chumri form, it's still within the realm of kedusha, of tzura, of pnimius. When you're dealing with other activities, like I'll speak later about. Other activities a person is engaged in, then you're actually going to you're going to be suffering gnus and kalon. Other inyanim in the world, if it's not done with tznius, it takes you to a very chumri world. So I think on that here, if that's me as a kavachomer.
Okay.
Okay, good Shabbos. And I hope we'll iron all, I hope I'll get the hang of it so that we can iron out all of the technical kinks. But I was. Did you try before the and it didn't work, the Skype or not? Did you try before you called me in?
I just tried to send you, but it's fine. It's working fine.
Okay, because I didn't know how. I had someone else had logged in. Whatever it is, Bez Hashem. So Bez Hashem, next week, what time is good for the Ilam? 3:15, 3:30. I mean, 10:15, 10:30. What's good for the Ilam? I'm all game. This 3:15 from 3:15 onwards is good for me.
So let's make it 10:15, 10:20, something like that.
Okay, fine. That's great. Okay.
Okay. Shabbos. Good Shabbos.
Shabbos. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.